Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the LIC's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have senior management of LIC led by Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, CEO and MD, on this call. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, CEO and MD, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mohanty.
Good evening, everyone. I am Siddharth Mohanty, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, LIC. I would like to welcome all of you to the results and performance update call of Life Insurance Corporation of India for the nine-month period ended December 31st, 2024. Our results declared today have been uploaded along with press release and the investor presentation on our website, as well as the websites of both the exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me on this call, I have co-managing directors, Mr. M. Jagannath, Mr. Kamlesh Pandey, Mr. Satpal Bhanu, and Mr. R. Doraiswamy. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, Appointed Actuary and Executive Director, and Mr. K.R. Ashok, Executive Director from the Actuarial Team, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO from the Finance Team, Mr. Ratnakar Patnaik, Executive Director, Investment Front Office and CIO, and Mr. K. Seshagiridhar, Executive Director, Investment Back Office from the Investment Team, Mr. R. Sudhakar, Executive Director, Marketing and CMO, Mr. Hemant Buch, Executive Director, MBSE, Ms. Manju Bagga, Executive Director, Pension and Group Schemes, Mr. C.V. Ramana, Executive Director, CRM Policy Servicing, and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, Head Investor Relations. I would like to start by thanking each and every one of you for taking the time to join us on this investor call despite the late evening hour on a Friday. We appreciate your interest in LIC's performance and your ongoing support. Let me now mention the key business, operational, and financial highlights for the nine-month period ended December 31st, 2024. Premium income. For the nine months ended December 31st, 2024, we have reported a total premium income of INR 340,563 crore as compared to total premium income of INR 322,776 crore for the nine months ended December 31st, 2023, registering a growth of 5.51% on year-on-year basis. The individual new business premium income for nine months ended December 31st, 2024, was INR 42,441 crore, and for the corresponding nine months of last year, it was INR 38,679 crore, thereby registering a growth of 9.73% on year-on-year basis. Renewal premium income, individual business, for nine months ended December 31st, 2024, was INR 178,975 crore as compared to INR 171,040 crore for nine months ended December 31st, 2023. Therefore, for the nine-month period ended 31st December 2024, our total individual premium income, including renewals, was INR 221,416 crore as compared to INR 209,719 crore for nine-month period ended December 31st, 2023, registering a growth of 5.58% on year-on-year basis. The group business total premium income for nine months ended December 31st, 2024, was INR 119,147 crore, comprising of new business premium of INR 115,576 crore. In comparison, for 9 months ended December 31, 2023, last year, the group business total premium income was INR 113,057 crore and comprised of new business premium of 108,796 crore. Therefore, for this 9 months ending December 31, 2024, the total group premium has increased by 5.39% as compared to similar period of previous year. Market share. Our market share by first year premium income for 9 months ended December 31, 2024 was 57.42% as per IRDA report, as compared to 58.9% for the similar period ended December 31, 2023. Once again, we have maintained our dominant position in the Indian life insurance market and continue to be the leader in both individual as well as group business segments. Now, if we bifurcate this overall market share of 57.42% into segment-wise share of individual and group business, we would have a market share of 37.21% in individual business and 71.7% in the group business for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024. On a comparable basis, for the 9 months ended December 31, 2023, the respective market shares for individual and group business were 38.74% and 72.24% respectively. Breakup of business on APE basis. Total annualized premium equivalent, APE, for 9 months ended December 31, 2024 was INR 37,975 crore, which comprised individual APE of INR 24,611 crore and a group APE of INR 13,363 crore. Therefore, on APE basis, the individual business accounts for 64.81% and group business accounts for 35.19%. Further, of the individual APE, the par business accounts for INR 17,799 crore and non-par amounts to INR 6,813 crore. Therefore, our non-par share of individual APE is 27.68% and par is 72.32%. for 9 months ended December 31st, 2024. As you may recall, for the 9 months period ended December 31st, 2023, our non-par share of total individual business based on AP stood at 14.04%. Since then, our non-par AP has increased substantially from INR 3,299 crore to INR 6,813 crore. This marks a significant year-on-year growth of 106.52% in non-par APE. As you will observe, we are being extremely consistent in implementing our product mix strategy, which includes shift towards non-par business. Profit after tax. The PAT for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024 was INR 29,138 crore as compared to INR 26,913 crore for 9 months ended December 31, 2023, registering a growth of 8.27% on year basis. VNB and VNB margin. Net VNB was INR 6,477 crore for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, as compared to INR 5,938 crore for the 9 months ended December 31, 2023, registering a growth of 9.08% on year-on-year basis. Further, The net VNB margin was 17.1% for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, as compared to 16.6% for the 9 months ended December 31, 2023, showing improvement by 50 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Solvency ratio. The solvency ratio as on December 31, 2024 improved to 2.02 as against 1.93 on December 31, 2023. Assets under management. The AUM as on December 31, 2024 was INR 54,77,651 crore as compared to INR 49,66,371 crore as on December 31, 2023. Therefore, our AUM has registered a growth of 10.29% on year-on-year basis. Product mix and new product launches. Post the implementation of the IRDA Insurance Product Regulations 2024, effective from October 1st, 2024, we have launched a comprehensive suite of 38 products as of December 31st, 2024, which includes 24 individual products, 8 group products, 5 individual riders, and 1 group rider, all of which are fully compliant with the regulatory requirement related to surrender value and the IRDA Master Circular on Life Insurance Products. Number of policies sold. During the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, we sold 1,17,10,505 new policies as compared to 1,25,056,046 new policies in 9 months ended December 31st, 2023, registering decrease of 6.73% over the corresponding period of last year. Agency workforce. As on December 31st, 2024, the total number of agents was 14,19,480 as compared to 13,73,761 as on December 31st, 2023. The market share by number of agents as on December 31st, 2024 stands at 47.4% as against 49.67% for December 31st, 2023. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 1,13,56,466 policies during the 9 months ended December 31, 2024 as compared to 1,21,15,643 policies during the corresponding period of last year, registering decrease of 6.27%. Further, approximately 97% of our policies in the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, around 95% of new business premium came from our agency channel in the first 9 months of current financial year. Contribution by Banca and alternate channel. The Banca channel collected new business premium income of INR 1,451.64 crore for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2024, and for the corresponding 9 months of last year, it was INR 1,106.12 crore, thereby registering a growth of 31.24% on year-on-year basis. Further, the alternate channel collected new business premium of INR 552.31 crore for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024 as compared to INR 422.94 crore for 9 months ended December 31, 2023, registering a growth of 30.59% on year-on-year basis. Therefore, for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, total new business premium collected by banca and alternate channel was INR 2003.95 crore, which was INR 1529.06 crore for the 9 months ended December 31, 2023, registering a growth of 31.06% on a year-on-year basis. With this, the share of banca and alternate channel by new business premium has increased to 4.73% for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, as compared to 3.96% for a similar period last year. Further, the banca and alternate channel sold 347,766 policies for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, as against 436,006 policies for 9 months ended December 31, 2023, registering a decline of 20.24% on year basis. Our overall expense ratio for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, the overall expense ratio was 12.97% as compared to 15.28% for the first 9 months of last year. Therefore, there is a decrease of 231 basis points on year basis. Persistency. On premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st months up to the quarter ended December 31st, 2024 stands at 76.66%, 71.67%, 67.1%, 63.39% and 61.84% respectively, as compared to 78%, 71.92%, 67.28%, 64.92% and 62.4% respectively up to the quarter ended December 31, 2023. On number of policies basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st months up to quarter ended December 31, 2024 stands at 67.47%, 60.1%, 53.84%, 51.17% and 49.22% respectively, as compared to 67.22%, 58.59%, 54.8%, 52.01% and 50.23% respectively up to the quarter ended December 31, 2023. We are committed in our ongoing efforts to keep improving persistency across all cohorts. Operational efficiency and digital progress. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 972,504 policies through this app during the 9 months ended December 31, 2024 as compared to 784,856 policies for the period ended December 31, 2023, thereby registering a growth of 23.91% on year-on-year basis. There was a growth of 27.36% in the number of active agents in Ananda app for 9 months ended December 31st, 2024. DIVE, Digital Innovation and Value Enhancement and Jeevan Samarth Initiatives. Our DIVE and Jeevan Samarth Initiatives led by BCG and A.T. Kearney respectively are progressing well. These initiatives are aimed at driving digital transformation, enhancing customer experience and agency transformation. We are confident that these initiatives will have a significant impact on our business and help us to improve operations. Claims. on the individual claims front during 9 months ended December 31st, 2024, we have processed 1,45,92,285 number of claims, which includes 1,39,70,059 maturity and survival benefit claims. On an amount basis, during first 9 months ended December 31st, 2024, the total maturity claims were INR 1,47,739 crore, and total death claims were INR 17,588 crore. On a comparable basis, for first 9 months of last year ended December 31, 2023, the maturity claims were INR 1,30,222 crore, and death claims were INR 16,288 crore. Therefore, the death claims are higher by 7.98% and the maturity claims are higher by 13.45% on a year-on-year basis. New marketing initiatives. Empowering women through Bima Sakhi Yojana. Bima Sakhi Yojana or Mahila Career Agent Scheme was launched by Honorable Prime Minister on 9th December 2024, which is a step towards Viksit Bharat through empowerment of women. LIC is proud to be associated with the nation's progress by including women as partners by providing them with opportunity of becoming Bima Sakhi and thus becoming self-reliant. The Bima Sakhi scheme has been received by the nation with great enthusiasm. Till date, more than 1,25,000 women have been registered as Bima Sakhi, out of which more than 70,000 Bima Sakhis have been appointed. Awards and accolades. The list of awards won during 9 months ended December 31, 2024 is presented on slide number 61 of the investor presentation, which signifies that LIC is a customer-centric and innovative organization that is committed to excellence in all aspects of its business. It also acknowledges LIC's outstanding performance in the life insurance industry, demonstrating its ability to deliver exceptional results and achieve its goals. Before I close, I would like to list down significant achievements during the quarter. PAT has registered a growth of 8.27% on a year-on-year basis to INR 29,138 crore. Overall, AP growth is 6.11% on a year-on-year basis. This represents strong underlying secular growth in both individual and group business. Our non-par share of individual AP business has further grown to 27.68% for 9 months ended December 31, 2024, as compared to 14.04% of the same period for previous year. VNB has also increased by 9.08% on a year-on-year basis for first 9 months of FY25. VNB margin has shown a positive bias with 50 basis points increase to 17.1% for 9 months ended December 31st, 2024. AUM has increased by INR 5,11,280 crore as on December 31st, 2024, registering a growth of 10.29% on a year-on-year basis. While maintaining growth in all parameters, we have kept a focus on costs, and as you can see, the overall expense ratio is down by 231 basis points to 12.97% for 9 months ended December 31, 2024. Our agency is growing in numbers and now stands at 14.1 lakh as at the end of December 31, 2024, increasing by approximately 3.33% year-on-year. Now, I would like to end by stating that our results demonstrate the resilience and adaptability of our organization as we continue to navigate the evolving landscape of the life insurance industry. As we look ahead to the remainder of FY25, we are cautiously optimistic about our prospects. We expect the life insurance industry to continue growing, driven by increasing awareness and demand for insurance products. We are well positioned to leverage this growth with our strong brand, extensive distribution network, and innovative products. So thank you, friends. Now, we are open to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. The first one is on margin. And here I am looking how the margins were at first half, vis-a-vis how they have gone to 9 months. Now, between first half to 9 months, if I were to look, if at all the bond yields have softened maybe like 10-15 basis points, and you also had this new surrender regulation implementation. Now, in this backdrop, yet the PAR margins, if I just try to take out a Q3, has gone up from, say, 10% in first half to 13% for the quarter, taking the cumulative margin to 10.8. So this 13% for PAR, similarly on the non-PAR also, these are just marginal uptick. Now, this despite the bond yield softening and surrender regulation implementation, so what have been the kind of underlying drivers? I mean, how did you, have you kind of a change in a way, or you pay out, you know, the distribution commissions, or you have dramatically changed the benefits in your product? What has changed that has kind of driven this margin improvement despite the bond yields going down and this implementation of new surrender regulation? That's question one. And question number two is now on your non-PAR savings, particularly the non-PAR saving, not ULIP, not annuity, non-PAR savings, the regular non-PAR guaranteed saving product. Now, that is a you know, reasonably big number, even for your balance sheet or your size. Now, your individual non-PAR AP is 3,000 to 100 crore for the 9 months, almost like up 120%. Now, can you please help us, you know, how are you now hedging the your this guaranteed risk? Have you kind of started you know, entering into FRA agreement or something else? Because now this number is becoming pretty big. I mean, until last year these numbers were kind of a manageable in the balance sheet size of yours, but now this is becoming bigger and bigger. So have you already started kind of entering into FRA agreement and all? How are you hedging this kind of you know, interest rate risk in this guarantee product? Thanks. The other two questions.
Yeah, good evening. Dinesh Pant here. To your first question on margin maintenance, see, there are two, three things which are very critical here. That post 1st October 2024, when we have to implement product regulation, as we all know, the surrender values methodology as well as the payouts have changed, and that would have had an impact on the viability of the product, of course, on the margins also. So from that point of view, we did some critical changes in our products. Since you mentioned about participating products, besides the point of ensuring that we should be compliant to the regulation, the ultimate focus was the profitability of the products as well as the persistency of the products to be ensured going forward. So certain changes were done. We had a revision in premium rates in some of the products, depending upon not all the products, some of the products which are already, having good margins, there we did not change, but in many of the products, we had a revisit to the premium rates. Second important change that we did was that products which were showing reducing impact on the persistency, we revised their minimum ticket sizes because we clearly know that based on the ticket size, the experience of persistency changes. So that also changed so that the expected behavior post surrender should not cause the dent. And then thirdly, the age bands at which we are going to provide these products was also relooked. So all these things ensured that the margins, despite of the interest rates or RFR changing to the other direction, are protected. The experience of persistency, which comes out of the product, because that is directly linked to the ticket size and the premium also. Besides that, the mode of payments also we controlled. In which ways, we were seeing that the persistency experience is not good. So all of that ensured that. But beyond that, what we did in the participating, as you would have seen, from around 14.04% or so to 27% plus, this mix of business has also played a very important factor. It is not that the margin of every line of business or every product within the non-par or this would have increased, but it has been a combination of the product mix, means the greater portion of the non-participating business. As you know, the margins in the non-participating products are better. So both these things have overall played a role in participating by the revisit to the design of the product. And in overall, when we moved from 16.6 to 17.1, that has been because of the change in proportion of the overall business. So that was the first part. This was the second part on the derivative. I'm happy to share with you that since we have been telling and sharing this information, that all our policies, arrangements, as regard to the derivative readiness were in place. And this month we have already started the journey of entering into FRA, we expect to start this in a good manner within this financial year and definitely going forward. So we are already onboarded to the derivative provisioning, and we also look forward to utilizing the new announcements which have come in the RBI policy today on the bond forward also. So definitely we are going to utilize this opportunity, and we are ready and we have started on that side. I hope that answers.
Yeah, thank you a lot for the innovative answer. Just a follow-up on the first part, that if I heard you correctly, because you have kind of pruned your portfolio to sort of, in terms of ticket sizes, age band and all, to sort of have a better persistency experience, that means that you are saying that, your operating assumption in terms of persistency for the policies sold after 1st October is improved versus what it was earlier. I mean, you are now achieving a better persistency. That's one. The second, again, given that how the numbers are coming, I mean, of course, you are a market leader by a wide margin, but in individual side, you have been losing market share. And if you were to, or rather you have cut the policyholder benefit or revised premium rates upward, don't you see that will further kind of continue to affect your market share or growth in retail business?
You rightly mentioned, actually, there are certain aspects which we have to definitely balance, in order to ensure that the profitability is maintained, but the appeal to the products is also, retained. And beyond that, the third element of, distributors' interest. So that's another element which I would like to add when I was answering the first part of it. The realignment of the commission rates was also done along with those changes. Now, the intent for these changes was definitely not to increase the margins, but to ensure that the margins are not hit as well as the experience. Now, currently when we have, you know, calculated this margin, what we have considered is that, that's why it's not a huge jump. And another important point is that the premium rates have not been significantly changed. They are very range bound. And as I said in my first response, not in all products. So wherever the correction was required, there only it was done. So as of now, anybody would know that it's very difficult to predict what would be the experience of surrender. But what was very clear that the payouts would be higher even at the given rate of surrenders or withdrawals happening. So what we are trying to, we are trying to protect those aspects, realign the commission, realign premium rates. And we are very conscious about this fact that we have to ensure that not only VNB margins are protected, but VNB as well as value for the customer is very paramount. So going forward, if these premium rates, since you mentioned about participating products, because just because surrender value, you know, provisions have increased does not mean customers will start surrendering policies more. Now, only possibly they may feel more safe, they may find more liquidity in these policies, and they may get more attracted towards these policies. Should that be the case and should that happen, it will actually, going forward in a year or two, we'll get to know the actual behavior, and should it help, you know, that continuity of better persistency, possibly there is a scope for review into the bonus rates which will be given. So our ultimate purpose is that this should be a win-win proposition in which neither the customer should lose out, neither the investors who are invested into the insurance company should lose out. So it's a very, very, very tight and but very critical journey that we have undertaken. In that process, we have tried to engage with our distributing distributors also, so that there's a proper appreciation. That's why the alignment of the, you know, incentives to the distribution force has also been done, so that the behavior is driven towards higher persistency, which is definitely higher persistency and continuity means better value for the customer as well as for the agency force, because longer a policy survives, longer is the payout period for the commission. So that is the overall strategy in this context for us.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity, my first question is, since the IPO, we have been talking about, you know, initiatives to improve, you know, persistency. And I know, again, you know, in this quarter post the surrender charge regulations, we have, you know, made changes, you know, to our policies. But when I look at, you know, the 9-month data and, you know, the persistency has, for, you know, come off, or, you know, it has declined as compared to what was there last year. So just wanted to understand, you know, despite these initiatives, why isn't it, you know, really getting reflected in the numbers? I understand that, you know, the surrender impact, you know, the changes that you have made will come in later. But over the last 2 years also, we have made, you know, several changes. Despite that, you know, that is not flowing into an improvement on persistency. Just wanted to your thoughts on that. Two, you know, on the hedging mechanism, I understand that, you know, you have put in place a hedging mechanism from January onwards. But would that take into consideration, or would that take care of, you know, the rate cut that happened today, or will, you know, it have an adverse impact on, you know, the policy or, you know, the VNB margins of the non-par products which have already been written? So, you know, if you could throw some color there, given, you know, I understand, you know, you did not have external hedging before this. That's why, you know, I wanted, you know, some color on that. So those were my two questions. Thank you.
Yes, see, on the first part on the persistency, you're right there that there's a dip in the persistency as observed except for the 25th month where there's still an improvement. But you would have seen that, you know, in the past quarter, there has been definite improvement. And we have been very conscious about it and therefore very quick revisit and modification products have happened. And that's what we detected that in some of the products where, you know, the lower ticket sizes were existed, actually, there was the persistency experience was significantly different as compared to the overall portfolio. And there was some, you know, heavy business over there. That is the reason in those products, in this recent revision, we have increased the ticket size to the level where it remains affordable, where it remains available to the customer, but the persistency experience can be in line with what we are attempting. As to the part, the second part on hedging, you will appreciate that when we calculate VNB margins, actually, the hedging does not play any significant role. It is basically on the sensitivities around VNB where the hedging, you know, comes into play. So going forward, and hedging is actually, we cannot control the market rate. We have no options there. So, but the control on the profitability of the value of the product is not just based on hedging. Should we find that the level of available opportunities even for hedging in the market are not aligned to the pricing, then there is no option but to look into the pricing itself. So it will be a combination of sustainability of the pricing assumptions coming and backed by the opportunities available in the, you know, financial market or derivative market as it be, or otherwise have a relook or come out with then possibly other opportunities could be looking towards such lines of businesses with greater focus during those times of downturn in interest rate scenario, where the sensitivity may not be high, for example, products like ULIP or participating, where you can actually utilize more of equity exposure be able to, you know, manage your discretionary benefits. So it is going to be definitely a dynamic situation under which we'll be working.
Got it, sir. Just wanted to understand then, you know, what would be, you know, is there a target proportion that we'd like to hedge, or, you know, how are we approaching that? You know, or we would look at it, you know, based on the rates available in the market, based on that, you know, we'll design our hedging strategy every month or every quarter.
See, we are guided by the regulations in this regard. So entire exposure is available as a cash flow. And the challenge in the hedging strategies also, because it is not only for, though it is allowed for the current cash flow, but you have to do business to be returned in future also. So the hedging strategy by itself cannot be the solution for everything. It will have to be continuous combination of what is available in the hedging. Again, if you foresee that the interest rates are going to go down, you will have to continue to book the derivative, whatever is available, because not again your choice. But then you have to, again, as I was mentioning earlier, look into whether that hedging solution is in sync with your pricing rate. Should it not be the case, the revisit to pricing or restructuring of products will be there. So it is going to be a combination of both the things which we are going to, you know, be operating in.
Thank you. So just one last question. You know, there has been news articles on open architecture in agency. Just wanted your thoughts on that, given, you know, agency accounts for around 98% of your new business premiums, individual new business premiums. You know, if open architecture is implemented in agency, then, you know, how does that change, you know, your current training regimes or how you recruit agents and, you know, develop them? If you could throw some light there, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
We have earlier made our position very, very clear. Open architecture to LIC, it is not a good idea, because to develop any captive distribution channel, it takes lot of time, energy, cost, everything. So if you allow suddenly your captive agency channel to work for others, so if you see overall growth of the industry will also be impacted, because if one agent works for all other companies, so companies themselves, they may not be interested to recruit, because recruitment and training, it involves a lot of cost. So we have made our position very clear, and even if it is implemented, we are ready, because you see our agency profession is almost like a full-time job. Agents do not get only commission, they get all other things like gratuity, group insurance, then advances are there. They are entitled for loans for vehicle, loan for housing. So many benefits they are entitled. So if it comes, then all these things LIC will have to have a recalibrated approach to enter agency model as it works today.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gaurav Jain from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the team on being able to demonstrate consistent shift towards high margin on our product. A few questions from my side. One is, sir, in today's monthly numbers also came out, and there also we have seen some decline in APE. So what are the steps that we are taking to arrest this APE decline and get back on the APE, individual APE growth trajectory again? That is my first question.
This is Sudhakar, ED Marketing. See, the APE is a function of the product mix which is being sold. So after the product revisions which were done in October, it takes some time for the agents to understand the products, understand the differences or the benefits which have been added. So it's only a temporary kind of, I would say, impact, and already by now we are back on track on that.
I would just like to add to that, beyond, let's see, while in this press release it is mentioned that we have got, certain, products. We have added more products, almost 50 products, including Zydus by now, which have been, there. And we have filed more products also, which are subject to consideration, which are consideration. So that's a continuous strategy to add to the product line, so that, more and more needs of the customers and the distribution and marketing force are met with. So coupled with now better understanding about why these decisions have been taken, and duly supported with wider range of products, more products added now and more products to be added in this quarter and beyond, some of which are going to be very innovative products also. We expect that the trajectory of growth which was there earlier, and in fact even better, will come back soon, very soon.
Got it, sir. Just one more question from my side. I understand we give, sir, EV on a half-yearly basis, but given equity markets have been volatile, will it be possible to give us some direction on how EV has moved on this December 24 quarter, sir?
Actually, we have not been disclosing the embedded value on a quarterly basis. We have been doing it on a half-yearly basis only. And on the frequency, we will have a relook at it. But for the current quarter, we are not disclosing the.
Got it, sir. It will be helpful if we consider giving it on a quarterly basis going forward, sir. And you have said that you will be looking at it, and that will be helpful. Thank you, sir, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Just a few questions from my side. First is, you mentioned on the persistency part and, that in the new product regime, given that you have kind of changed some of the cohort selections in terms of ticket size and age, and you expect the surrender incrementally to be better. I just want to understand, when you're kind of calculating the margin numbers, have you kind of changed any of the assumptions, or are you building better assumptions on this new product that have been launched since October? So that would be my first question. Second question is, you mentioned that you're not giving out the embedded value number for December, but since we get the public disclosures with a lag, can you just mention the balance sheet data for the credit and debit in fair value change account, if that's possible? And the third question is, when you look at the ticket size of your individual new business, across the board, whether it's non-par, par, we have seen a significant jump compared to historical averages. So is this what you're referring to, the kind of focus on higher ticket cohorts? Those are my three questions.
Yeah, definitely. The ticket size, first of the first part which you're asking about, whether we have, factored in better persistency, not exactly. We are not, factoring anything which is over-promising from the current level. Should we do it, we disclose that thing. But yes, we continue to keep revisiting our assumptions based on the experience that and the trends which are available with us. So currently, we have not factored in any better, persistency expectation. As I mentioned earlier also, we'll try to see that. But the impact of, and also noting that the reference rates, you know, the risk-free rates have gone down. So these VNB margins are despite of that, because they were on the lowering direction. So there is actually around 2.1% or so negative impact of that. But the business mix, as I mentioned, added around 2.4%, which is a part of disclosure, and slight addition coming from operating assumptions, which is on account of mortality actually. And not based on the current assumption. Therefore, what we are sanguine and confident about is that with this better, re-modifications in this product, and hoping that and believing that with this ticket size, the actual withdrawal rate should not be higher. But we would like to observe it over a period of time. So currently, these margins are basically on account of revised premiums which have been there, better ticket size which is there, only affecting to the extent that it will not give us worse experience than currently, not adding any better experience on that count, factoring in the risk-free rate downside, but also as I mentioned earlier, largely because of the ability to change the product mix. All this has been added together, and this is the outcome of it. I hope that answers.
Yeah, yeah, and the question on the balance sheet data, if that's possible.
The fair value savings account for the policyholders as on 31st December in the balance sheet is 7,6,449 crores, and the shareholders is 1,387 crores.
Sorry, sir. So if I can just squeeze in one small question, and this is not for the quarter, but more for medium term. We have seen the VNB being supported by margin expansion over the last maybe 12 to 18 months, even when, the APE has seen some sort of pain or kind of slower momentum. Better momentum. Even when APE has been kind of weaker, we have seen VNB margin expansion from, let's say, the IPO time, having supported the VNB. Now, you're already operating at a decent non-par mix. Maybe it goes up another 5-10%. So once you achieve a steady state margin, post that, I think VNB growth naturally becomes a function of the APE. And that has been kind of a little bit lower than the private industry for some time now. So directionally, how should one think of medium-term growth for a company of your size and scale? And also keeping in mind the competitive pressure out there.
I take your point, but our view is that from here going forward, there is a scope and there is a definite, as we have mentioned also, we look forward to the business mix, because even when the VNB margin is improving, there are certain aspects within the line of businesses on the segment where re-visit is possible and will be done. So based on that, we are looking forward to a consolidation and improvement in VNB margin. So definitely going forward, it is going to be better than this. So there is an uptick in the VNB margin itself. And I agree that VNB margin alone is not going to be sufficient for the directional change towards VNB. So that is the reason what we are trying, the consideration is that number of sales should grow and the ticket size should grow. So that will lead to better AP. And that sort of communication is there with the distribution channel, coupled with the improved VNB margins, shall lead us to the VNB direction. And what you mentioned is partially true. Over last many quarters, actually, we have shown significant APE growth. In fact, last quarter was almost, September quarter was 24% or so. So our VNB journey, which has been very satisfying, continues on base of both the things, VNB margin, not only on VNB margin, along with the focus on the AP. So both these continue to be the focus area.
Got it. So any plans to recoup the group business? There has been some sort of market share moderation in 1 or 2 years.
The group, we are actually, very heavy on the funded based business, but we have recently changed a lot of focus towards the risk portion, OIT schemes which are there, OIL, BTS schemes, and we are trying to consolidate there. In fact, I think now almost 3,000 crores of premium or so, 2,000 crores around the premium is coming from that, and that's a significant thing. And within group also and within funded also, there's a significant portion of annuity also, which can be a good margin business. So within group gives us good, top lines as well as if not in margin terms, but in VNB terms, it's a good contributor. So we continue to remain focused on group also.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, your non-par margin, if I see last year, it was 60%. Today, it is 44.3%. So just wanted to understand if hedging is incorporated incrementally, because then what likely impact you will see on the margin because of hedging costs incrementally getting incorporated? And second, is it fair to say that 60% drop falling to 60% margin falling to 44% is predominantly because in non-par yield contribution went up, or at the product level the margins have compressed? So that's my first question, sir.
As regards to the first question, actually the hedging will not have impact on margins, but it will have impact on the sensitivity, and any hedging effect will flow through to the IE. The reason because is the hedging is allowed only for the existing business and not for the business that is procured. This coming to the second part on margins, actually if you look at the walk-on margins, there is a sort of a balancing, tight balancing that is happening. One is pushing the margin south due to the fall in the risk-free rate, and that is more than sufficiently balanced by the business mix, greater movement towards non-car products which has higher margins. So actually going forward, we are focusing on business mix, which we feel is the driver for the margins.
So my question was more related to only non-par, because non-par margin last year we ended at 60, today it is at 44.3. So just wanted to understand this 16% correction in the margin. Is it because of the higher ULIP contribution, or is it because you made products more attractive to the policyholders?
You're right, a combination of both the things. One is, ULIP definitely, as you know, is not heavy margin business. As well as some of the annuity products, they are also the margin because of the risk-free rate coming down has compressed. So largely because of these two things, and we had seen heavy growth and significant growth in non-par saving in the last year. We have a decent growth this year also. So the combination of those things, largely because significant growth has happened in ULIP business, so that has brought down the margin to that extent, which has been more than compensated by actually growth in the non-par business itself. So that's going to be a strategy. See, we can never focus on margin alone, because marketability of the product is also going to be a very critical factor. So this rebalancing on, because ultimate aim is to get the best outcome, the product of margin and the volume is going to be the concentration. So that is what we have been able to achieve, and that will continue to be the strategy going forward in any competitive market.
Got it, sir. Sir, second thing was that, is it fair to tell that your agents focusing more on non-par has indirectly had a negative bearing on the par business? And that segment is seeing struggle to grow, or is struggling to grow rather, while at the expense of non-par. So at what time you will see that a par business will plateau out and you will see incremental growth coming in?
We cannot exactly say that because of non-par business only, business impact happens because of many reasons. As we know, agents getting focused, and there has been, slight dip in the number of agency force also. That's one of the factors. But we cannot say because of non-par. It does happen at times that when your agents are focused on particular line of business, to the same client at the same point of time, the other product may not be available. They may go back in the next year and sell them the par policies. We are not pushing any agent to sell par or non-par. The corporation's drive happens to be that, the product sales should always happen from the need point of view for the customer. But we realize that as long as, we are producing par products only, and we felt that the bandwidth and the options for the customers have to be increased, So consciously, until this point of time, we have introduced non-car products only since IPO. Going forward, we'll continue to we'll start to bring about a mix of both lines of businesses and offer more options to the customer. So yes, that's the point that there is a reduction in car growth, but that could also happen because earlier the options were only within the car segment. Now those same customers have options within non-car, so they are favoring selection non-car products which offer guarantees to them in this investment.
Got it, sir. So on par business, the higher profit sharing which we'll see from the current year is already incorporated in our VNB margin.
Yes. For the business which is being done now, that is already being incorporated. So
at overall company level, only because of higher profit sharing, how much delta which we have seen in margin expansion because of higher profit sharing coming from par business?
I don't think that's a very significant amount because largely it is coming. Almost one third or 30% of contribution is coming from the par business only. So largely it is, that will be a very small amount, not a very significant amount because whatever is coming, only that 5% was, or 7.5 was already there. So it's a move from 7.5 to 10 in this particular year. But that all is kept.
Got it. Sir, and lastly, sir, annuity business breakup, if you can give individual annuity business, just wanted to understand the product features, how much is deferred, how much is immediate, and how much is regular pay for us in annuity product segment, I think.
Currently, we are declaring on a line of business wise, I think we are not declaring product wise because that is something we want to leave to us to decide as and when the requirement is there for the overall business.
But sir, do we have a regular pay deferred annuity plan?
No. What is that?
Regular pay deferred annuity.
No, we have got a deferred annuity plan which is up to 5 years. Deferment is allowed. Earlier, we had this offering up to 15 years and 12 years. Then in the revised setup of the regulation, because sustainability factor, we had to revisit it, and we have got our product Jeevan Shanti, LIC Jeevan Shanti, where the deferment period up from 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, up to 5 years is available, besides our regular immediate annuity plan.
So it's a deferred single premium plan, right, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
We have regular premium, plan also prior to 1st October 2024. There are certain challenges in that there were challenges. So as of now, we have withdrawn that product, Jeevan Dhara. Now we are re-looking into in what form and with what modifications we can bring a similar structure because that has become very popular in a very short period of time. So we are working on that design also.
Okay, got it, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Nischint Chawate from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Again, going ahead, the same aspect of, essentially the cost of hedging. And what you mentioned is that it's kind of, we'll go through the EV walk. So can you give any sense in terms of, what kind of a quantum or what kind of impact would it have out there?
See, it is too early to give an impact. As I have already said, the impact will be visible only in the sensitivity numbers which we will be reporting. First thing, it will not directly impact the VNB margins. And because any hedging effect will flow through into the IEV movements. So we have just started, so possibly we'll be able to, depending upon how the market moves, we'll be able to give an impact when we report in the next quarter for the annual reporting.
So the other thing is on the individual non-par side, your growth was around high teens level in the third quarter. We have been growing somewhere in triple digits till like the last quarter. So do we sort of say that this now kind of plateaus out and the gap between non-par and par, maybe as you said, start pushing for par as well at some point of time. will gradually start reducing?
Frankly speaking, in the last last quarter of the last year, we introduced a product, our Zero service, which took off very significantly. It contributed significantly. For a large portion of this, this quarter, in fact, quarter proceeding to this, we have been very busy in ensuring that we are able to seamlessly, launch our products and coverages in, that has been a very challenging task for us. The time frames were there within which we had to launch all those products. Now that we are done with them, as I mentioned earlier also, we are focusing on coming out with more variety of the products which are compliant and which cater to different markets. So we will going forward, I think we are looking forward to adding more products to the available basket, so that, and in fact some of them, as I mentioned, we are going to very, lifestyle synchronized products. As you know, saving products, even now we have to, it's not under use and file system, still it is under file and use. So we have filed certain design and we are seeking for guidance and approval. Once they come, I think it will add to the bandwidth of available products and agents will get more opportunities to sell and cross-sell products to existing and new customers.
So fair to say that this probably grows at a much faster pace than the PAR business, but maybe the low-hanging fruit and the triple-digit growth is not something that, that one may think of. I think, is that a fair reading?
I didn't get your question.
No, so the point I'm trying to say is that on the individual non-PAR side, fair to say that this probably grows at a much faster pace than the PAR PAR business. But, the low-hanging fruit of, low base and triple-digit growth is something which is probably behind us.
No, it is never something like, low-hanging fruits only. Because, when we introduced the product, it was not a low-hanging fruit. A lot of effort had to happen for that thing. And we are still working out many innovative designs. And as I mentioned, we are very occupied with handling what was available at that point of time. We are again back to our, what I should say, the business for trying to innovate. And I'm very sure that we can launch more blockbuster products in the times to come. And it may not always definitely be 100% growth may not be possible, and as you reach there, but still a very decent growth. I still feel, while we can say the mix has changed, but we see a lot of opportunity to growth in non-PAR segment as well as PAR segment, and we'll continue to work towards that.
Sure. And just one final very, broad question was, on the Insurance Act, what are your expectations actually from the government?
I think what we expect of the government, we would like to share it with the government only and not to the media. And we share it. And we are very sanguine and confident. The government is, the government and the entire infrastructure is working towards ensuring insurance for all. And that is proper alignment there. We will, and then when we get an opportunity, we communicate with them. Those things will be taken care of. Yeah,
Perfect. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Mohit Mangal from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is that in terms of the number of policies sold by banca and alternate channels have declined around 20% YOY. So what could be the reason for that?
Typically, this is Hemant Bhuj here. In fact, we have done well and we continue to do well on the premium side. But after quarter two, in fact, we were reasonably flattish in terms of number of sales. Particularly Q3, once in fact the product line changed, the ticket grew, and it took some time for in fact the participants to adjust to the new environment. So we have taken in fact a bit of beating in Q3, and the numbers have in fact come down in fact sharply, as you can see. But towards end of quarter three, there is an uptick. For the month of December, it was good, and I think the uptick continues thereafter as well. So hopefully, we should continue to do well in Q4 as well and close the year in fact on a particularly, the number came under pressure from the MFI side with a lot of stress there in the MFI sector and participant institutional agencies on the micro side, there has been in fact some sort of issues which has in fact led to this kind of in fact sharp kind of declining the number of sales. But then in fact a lot of repair work has been done. And we are quite hopeful and confident that by the time we close here, we should come up with a reasonable number and maybe in fact managing a slender growth also if possible. But keeping fingers crossed right now.
Understood. Also, one more thing was in terms of the banca, I mean, we saw that the individual NBT source to the banca has grown around 30-31%. And we have good, 90-95 banca assurance partners. So just wanted to know, since say top 3 or top 5 do have a dominant share or is it kind of evenly distributed among the banca assurance partnership?
1995, of course, is in fact number-wise, in fact, it looks quite big because there are multiple kind of small cooperatives and regional rural banks also who figure into this list of participants. But if you look at the overall list, in fact, some major public sector banks and a few private sector banks, these are the ones which are in fact dominant partners here. From those top three, have in fact a sizable weightage. But at the same time, we are systematically into expanding the footprint by involving in fact other partners as well. And it is likely to be in fact a more holistic kind of an approach, not only for the year, but going forward as well.
Understood. So my last question is towards the commission ratio. I mean, we are seeing a kind of a decline. And I just wanted to know, I mean, is it kind of a sustainable or do you think, the commission ratios will come back to normal? Considering that, we are hoping for a higher growth kind of thing over the next, few quarters. So how do you see this commission ratio spanning out, say, over the next 3 to 4 quarters?
So one thing I would like to, clarify that while we would like the commissions to be, reasonable in the interest of the policyholder, we are not happy that the commission payouts are less. It is only largely a function of the business mix. In a business mix, because you would already know, that a lot of single premium business is heavy in case of our business. So the commission rates are low, lower as compared to, but if you low in the sense of percentages, but in the terms of volume, overall single premium, they are significantly high. And we will, but then another interesting thing to be seen is possibly when, commission rate would look lower, but because we have now backloaded those commission rates. So renewal commission rates going forward will be slightly higher than, what we are saying now. So it will balance out. We do not want to underpay commissions. We want to pay a right sort of commission. And we will be very happy to increase the commission payouts with the proportionate increase in business.
Understood. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohanty for closing comments.
So thank you, friends, for your active participation and engaging discussion. We appreciate your ongoing support and look forward to continuing to work together to drive growth and success for all our stakeholders. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. On behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.